On Epiphany in the church that I attended for years, each year these three guys would dress up in these very elaborate costumes, festooned with gold and trim and hats and special shoes, and they would process down the aisle singing "We Three Kings of Orient Are." They were all basses, and they all had these beautiful voices singing as they came down the aisle. And I can't help but giggle when I think about these guys, because they were all kind of not quite wise men looking, right? One of them was this big guy with a big red beard, and he kind of looked like the ghost of Christmas Present. You know, he was just a jolly guy. But he was really proud because he had made his own little pointy genie shoes, and he was really happy about that. The second guy was a really skinny little fella, and from the story that his wife told, he would start growing a beard at Halloween, and he wouldn't shave until after Epiphany. And he had white hair and this white beard. It was really his beard. It was great. But around Christmas time, when his beard was getting full, he, you know, kind of pictured himself as Santa. But his wife said, you know, he could eat a whole cake and he'd never gain an ounce. So he was kind of a Santa wannabe. And then the third guy was the funniest of all. He was this young guy with this baby face, and he had a beard that he had bought from a costume shop. And this is like a great beard compared to the one that he really had, because after years, the elastic had kind of, you know, sprung, and it was not quite stuck to his face. And so he would walk down the aisle, and with every step, it would kind of sag, and you would see his chin, you know, like, "We three kings of Orient Are." And then every time he would take a step, you would see, like, underneath his robe, his gold, his red robe with the gold festoon of things around it, you would see his tennis shoes underneath it, like he was just going to sprint to Bethlehem, right? So that was kind of funny. But, you know, we don't really know that much about who the real wise men were, or were they magi, or do we call them kings? That's what the song says, right? We've called them all three over the millennia. Magi is a Greek word used in the Bible to describe astrologers and interpreters of omens. Their mystical craft was likely passed down from the ancient Sumerians, and it predated Judaism. Matthew's the only gospel that includes the Magi in Jesus' birth narrative. There are mentions of Magi in Genesis and Daniel. More often in the Old Testament, they use a Hebrew word for the same kind of person that they interpreted as wise man. And it means somebody who's learned and scholarly, who studied the stars. And many scholars believe that these guys in our reading today belong to the Gentile courts in Persia, hence the pointy shoes and the dress that's formed from what we think of. But what about "We Three Kings of Orient Are"? The medieval church heavily preferred to call these guys kings. And Matthew's magi would not be the first wise men to be considered kings, because Joseph and Daniel, both of them were magi of sorts, were both elevated to a kingly status or to royal status. There's also evidence in old literature, of ancient literature, of these magi receiving royal honors. But whether they were magi or wise guys or kings, each label shines a different light on a facet of the story. Whatever you choose to call them, these fellows are the first in the canonical New Testament to bow and worship our Lord Jesus. We know that they're from a foreign land and that they've been studying a new history. They even knew the history of other people's countries. They knew of sacred texts, of astrological events, and they were willing to accept new developments. And although perhaps they studied in lamp-lit rooms filled with books and instruments, they were willing to look up and connect the dots and seek confirmation of their findings. They were willing to embark on a long journey with no guarantees of what was going to happen. They just went on faith to find this newborn king. Now, we know that they were generous because they hauled with them very precious gifts for this baby: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The last two are derived from resins for the sap of trees that grow in the Arabian Peninsula and in Africa and India. The fragrant spices were cherished for both their spiritual qualities and healing powers, and they were considered to be worth more than gold at many times throughout history. And although we assume the Magi were the smartest of the smart in all of the world, they almost naively seemed to not anticipate any difficulty when they were asking directions of King Herod, who was a rival king. They made it to Jerusalem by following a star, but they needed more details. So Herod's lackeys seemed more than willing to give them these details, much to Herod's dismay. We also know that these learned men were smart enough to take the more than a hint that Herod was a lunatic and might harm this infant. And they went home by another road. This event of the Magi, or the wise men, or kings, visiting the baby Jesus is celebrated today on this feast day, the Epiphany of our Lord, which was technically yesterday, but we moved it to today. The word epiphany, when capitalized, means the manifestation of Christ on earth. And when it's lowercase, it means the manifestation of some other type of divine being. But in our secular vocabulary, it usually means a sudden manifestation or perception of the essential nature of something, or an illuminating discovery, realization, or disclosure. Like when you suddenly realize something. Like when I suddenly realized that the pants that my dad wore and that referees wore that didn't have a belt, that are called sans a belt, meant sans a belt without a belt. No? It made me laugh for a really long time. Anyway, that was my epiphany. The season that follows Epiphany is really liturgically strange. You know, it's the hinge between the Advent and Christmas and between Lent and Easter. It's between expectation and joy and birth to penitential attitudes and crucifixion and resurrection. And it's a time that's intentionally set apart by the church. The gospel stories in this season describe various events that highlight the manifestation of the divinity of Christ. The coming of the Magi, the baptism of our Lord, the wedding at Cana, his first miracle, the calling of the disciples, and other miracles and teachings of Jesus, and then the last day of this season, the transfiguration. In this time, Jesus' identity as the Son of God is dramatically revealed to us. The strange hinge season is anywhere from 4 to 9 weeks long, depending on the year. But if we think of an epiphany as one moment, like my Sansibel epiphany, if you think of it as one single moment, you're kind of missing the point, because this is a long revelation. It's one revelation after another. It's one discovery after another. I imagine the ongoing epiphany of the seekers, known as the Magi or wise men or kings, as they went home by another road, an unfamiliar road, not the road that they came on, a road that they chose because of a transformative miracle, a road back to a place that would never be the same again for them, changed together forever by an infant. And there's no description of their encounter with Jesus other than the one that we have in this passage. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't know what they said to Jesus or his mother or to Joseph, but they did know that this baby was not just another earthly king. Imagine their conversation on the return, the long return home on another road, imagining them going back to work in a lamp-lit room filled with books and instruments. They had studied their whole lives. They had made a monumental discovery, and they embarked on an amazing journey, and they found the Messiah. They knew that they would never be the same, just like everyone that encounters Emmanuel. In these few weeks of this season, this strange and wonderful hinge season before we get to Ash Wednesday and Lent, let's live in this in-between. And in that time, we can ask ourselves, what are we seeking in this place? How are we finding the Christ child in our lives? Are we willing to accept things miraculous and unexplainable? Are we, like the Magi, prepared to look up and connect the dots and seek confirmation of our spiritual stirrings? Are we willing to travel in the unfamiliar? Are we willing to take another road? Amen.